wondering, Megan said. Only Mr. Today can do that. Lani whipped her hair behind her ear and rummaged through her book bag.
Hold on a minute, she said. I know I read something.
Alex thought Lani's ear was just about perfect. He thought about how he'd whispered into that very same ear right before he'd kissed her, and he blushed again. Megan, eyeing Alex, rolled her eyes.
Ah, now I know what's going on, she thought. Jeez.
She coughed lightly.
I'm still trying to figure out how Simba and Florence got into the theatre that one time. They're way too big to fit in the tube, and that's the only way in there.
Lani pulled out a book.
Oh, that's not too tough, Meg. I wanted the same thing. In fact, Alex could probably make that happen better than either of us or Samhede.
Who, me?
You're the artist, Alex, Lani said.
She smiled. All traces of the earlier fire in her eyes were now extinguished.
I don't see how that gets Simba and Florence to fit in the tube, he said.
What, did Miss Octavia sketch 3D pictures of them and put the picture in the tube?
No,
Lani said, her eyes dancing now as she paged through her book.
No, it's much simpler than that.
Megan sat up, intrigued. Alex's brain started churning, trying desperately to come up with the answer before Lani read it, as if they were playing a game of trivia.
Let me guess, he said. Hold on, I'm thinking.
He squinched his eyes shut, picturing what elements were needed.
Okay,
he said.
Well?
Lani jiggled the book on her lap, her finger holding the place.
She drew a bigger tube in 3D,
Alex said. Lani blinked.
No.
Lani watched Alex's shoulders fall in defeat, thinking about it.
But I think that would work too, she said thoughtfully. Good one, Al.
Megan frowned.
Well, what did she do then?
Lani smiled.
Picture the theatre, back where Simba and Florence were standing. What was right behind them? I'll give you a hint. There's something the theatre has that this lounge doesn't have.
Alex looked up.
Doors,
he said, puzzling.
Huge ones. But nobody ever uses them. They're just painted on for aesthetics, right?
Megan blinked. Alex tapped his chin.
Oh,
they said together. Lani grinned.
But I still don't see, Megan began.
Alex's eyes lit up.
So, if Miss Octavia, or anyone good enough to draw in 3D, painted the same set of theatre doors somewhere else in the mansion, Simba and Florence could simply push them open and walk right into the theatre, through those painted doors, without using the tube, right?
Exactly,
cried Lani.
Just as if they were walking through any real door.
Megan's clouded face began to clear.
But why have the tubes at all, then?
Think about it. All those doors that would have to be painted in everybody's rooms. There would be no room for them all. We'd have to move our beds around to get to them. And this way,
Lani said slyly,
Simba can't get into the lounge.
Alex sat up, his stomach twisting.
So a 3D magical drawing of any real doorway anywhere in the world would lead you into that room, no matter where you are or where the doorway is.
He leaned forward, holding his breath.
Yes, Lani said. Isn't that cool? But they're really hard to paint. I can't understand why Samhede would think he could draw a closet of defense in a hurry. It would take hours, days, maybe.
Alex's mind whirled.
All I have to do is learn to paint in 3D, he thought.
Whoa, said Megan. I'm going to go tell Sam anyway. Maybe it'll help with their project.
She went over to the tube and disappeared, leaving Alex and Lani quite alone in their corner of the lounge. Alex looked up and cleared his throat.
You're really smart, Lani.
Now it was Lani's turn to blush.
Yeah, she said. I like to read.
Alex glanced at her latest spell book.
Do you have any advanced spell books? Not like the history of killing spells, like you were reading the other day at breakfast, but like ones with lethal spell components actually written in them.
He almost whispered the last part.
No,
Lani said.
Oh. Why?
Alex remembered what Miss Octavia had told him about the Scatterclip spell, and he thought that if he ever came across the High Priest Justine in a real battle, he wouldn't hesitate to kill her.
No reason, I guess. I mean... Well, Lani said, if I find one, do you want to know about it?
Yes. I mean, I guess so. It wouldn't hurt. Alex looked down at the carpet for a long time.
So, about that other thing, with the kiss.
Lani blushed hard.
I think you're smart enough to know what I meant.
He bit his bottom lip, and then leaned forward, elbows on his knees, peering at her, remembering where they first met.
Hi,
he said softly.
I'm Alex. It'll go quickly.
Lani blinked at him, surprised that he remembered that first day.
Lani, she said. And no, it won't.
They both smiled at the grim memory.
Do you?
They both said at the same time and laughed.
You first,
said Lani.
Do you ever think about them? Your father? Your family? Alex asked.
Lani's eyes hardened.
Never. Only my younger brother, who Mr. Today promised me he'd try and save.
Alex regarded her thoughtfully.
Mr. Today can do that? I guess he can try. He told me he helps the High Priest Justine decide who the Unwanteds will be. He said when my father wanted to send me to the Purge before I was 13, he helped convince Justine to do it.
Her eyes clouded.
Wow,
Alex said, a bit shocked.
I didn't know. Mr. Today must have really wanted you here.
He trailed off, lost in thought.
And my father must have really wanted to get rid of me.
She shrugged off the hurt.
What about you? Do you think about your parents or your brother?
He was quiet for a long moment.
No,
he said finally.
I never think about them at all.
Windows and doors. One day per month, the first-year students met as a group and visited various instructors for their magical warrior training. It enabled them to perfect new spells based on the instructor's specialty, thereby rounding out their arsenals. In Ms. Morning's class, they had learned singing charms that could lull their targets to sleep or make them weep and collapse in misery. They had also learned slash singing, which would cause an enemy to tear himself to shreds. They each whittled a small pipe instrument that, when played, would cause the enemy to go insane. Megan had a variety of other instruments she kept in her arsenal as well, but most of them were too difficult for those less musical to learn properly. Mr. Appleblossom had spent his day teaching slam poetry and stunning soliloquies to the students. Both required an ability to think on one's feet, for the words uttered had to fit the situation. For example, if there was an attacker in a vehicle, one could aim an explosive slam at the tires to make them blow up, and then follow up with a singeing slam to the driver, setting his hair on fire. Lani was especially good at slams, and Samhead excelled in soliloquies. Not just stunning kinds, but opposite soliloquies as well, which would make the enemy do the opposite of what he'd intended to do. Samhead planned to use that one a lot, should they go to battle. He felt that if he could get several opposite soliloquies going at once, he could make his foes turn their weapons on themselves. Today's lesson was with Miss Octavia, and Alex arrived in her classroom feeling chipper, despite having dreamed about Aaron yet again during the night. But he tried to push it aside and focus on the class, for Miss Octavia was going to let Alex introduce a new spell he had created. She said he could teach everyone how to cast it. After all he'd done to catch up to the others, Alex was proud to have this chance to prove that he had succeeded. When all the students had arrived, Miss Octavia called Alex to the front of the room.
"Alex, tell us about your spell," she said.
From the pocket of his component vest, Alex pulled out two tiny balls of clay. He rolled them between his fingers to warm them up as he sauntered to the front of the class.
"The new spell I created is called Trapping Clay. You aim it at the arms, legs, or neck you wish to trap, and it hardens immediately upon impact, trapping the target in place."
Alex hid a wicked grin and called Lani up to be the victim. Lani flashed him a suspicious look, but slowly made her way to the front.
"A larger ball of trapping clay can encase an entire person. Like this,"
he said. He picked up a larger ball, wound his arm back, and said, "Full body cast!" He flung the clay at Lani.
"No!"
she squeaked, but it was too late. The clay found its mark and spread to cover her entire body, sticking her to the bulletin board.
"Alex!"
came a muffled cry from inside, followed by a reluctant, hollow chuckle.
"I guess I deserve that."
The students laughed. Alex smiled. Revenge at last. After a moment, though, he tapped on the hard shell cast and released the spell. Lani took a deep breath of fresh air and punched Alex playfully in the arm.
"You got me," she said. "Clever."
Alex blushed. "You took that awfully well."
"That's my way of making you feel bad."
"It's working," Alex admitted. "Okay, everybody," he said to the class. "Give it a try, if you can find a willing partner. You can call out shackles, if you just want to chain somebody's arms and legs, or," he said, and his eyes lit up, "dog collar is a fun one, too." They spent the morning trying out the trapping clay, and after lunch Miss Octavia gave them a painting lesson to calm them all down. Each student sat with his own easel and practiced defensive painting, which would allow them to quickly paint themselves out of any precarious situation. Alex was already a professional at defensive painting, so he went to the corner of the room where he kept his easel. He picked up where he'd left off the previous day.
"May I join you back in your little corner, Alex?"
Lani asked. Alex looked at her suspiciously. "Is this a trick?"
"No, don't be a jerk."
Alex tilted his head and narrowed his eyes.
"You have a suspicious history, Ms. Haluki."
Lani rolled her eyes.
"In case you haven't noticed, I haven't done anything to you in positively months. I'm done, okay? Get over it."
I guess that's true." Alex was quiet. He turned back to his artwork and began daubing thoughtfully with his brush.
"What are you painting?"
"A window," he said. He shrugged in the direction of the nearest open window.
"That one there." "Why?"
"I'm practicing my 3D art. If I do this right, by the time I'm finished, I should be able to tear this sheet off, stick it to the wall, and put my arm straight through it to the outside."
"Cool,"
Lani said.
"Is it hard to do?"
"Very," muttered Alex. "I haven't been able to do it yet."
"Why do you want to make a 3D window anyway?"
"I don't. Windows are just easier than doors. Miss Octavia told me to start with this. I've been trying for weeks, and it's getting really boring, but I think this one might work. You really need to shade and layer and get all the colors and textures right."
"So why do you want to make a door? Where do you want to go that you can't use the tube to get to?"
Lani shook her head slightly, puzzled.
"Oh, I don't know,"
he said lightly. Lani narrowed her eyes. She put her paintbrush down and gripped Alex's arm.
"You want to go to Quill, don't you?"
she whispered.
"Why would you do that, Alex? You're going to wreck everything."
"Shh," Alex said, when Miss Octavia glanced in their direction.
"I don't want to wreck everything. Don't be ridiculous." "You want to see your brother. Oh, Alex, why? He's not like us. He's evil." "Keep your voice down." "Sheesh, Lani. Aaron is not evil. He's exactly like us. He did artistic stuff, too, only I took the blame for it. He should be here." "It's not right. You'll put Artime in danger. What are you thinking, Alex?"
Lani shook her head in disgust.
"It's too late for him. Maybe he should have been here, too, but it's too late. Did you tell Mr. Today about him?"
"No, and you'd better not either." Lani sighed and slumped in her chair.
"Please don't do it, Al."
Alex sighed, too, and stared at his painting of the window, shaking his head. Then he ripped it off the easel and tore it into little pieces, disgusted. "At the rate I'm going, you have nothing to worry about." He sighed and rested his head on the window ledge. When he looked up through the glass, he saw Will Blair walking across the lawn in the distance. Will stopped and stood for a moment. Then he turned toward Miss Octavia's classroom, raised his hand impatiently, and pointed to the library. Alex's stomach clenched. Why would Will Blair want Alex to meet him at the library? Alex turned quickly to see if anybody else saw, but Lani and the rest of the class were focused on their work. All except for Sam Heed, that is, who stood at an easel at the back of the class, looking out the window. He nodded, his face serious. Then he packed up his things quietly, and when Miss Octavia was involved with another student, Sam Heed slipped out of the room. The Library. After several visits to Mr. Today's office, Alex had Aaron's dorm room door memorized, right down to the knots and scratches in the wood. Every evening, as Alex worked privately in his bedroom to perfect a 3D doorway to Aaron's room so he could save him, he couldn't stop thinking about Will and Sam Heed sneaking off to the library. They did it at odd times, sometimes during assemblies and sometimes during large group training, sometimes late in the evening. Once, Alex tried to follow them, but when he tubed into the library, they had disappeared. What could they possibly be working on? At first, Alex didn't care. He was just glad that Will hadn't actually been gesturing to him that time in Miss Octavia's room. But he grew more curious as his long, lonely nights of drawing and painting wore on, with no one but Clive to talk to. And Clive wasn't making life easy for Alex, either.
"What you doing in there?" Clive would ask every 10 minutes or so.
He obviously hated that Alex worked in the cramped sleeping area between the bed and the wall, rather than out in the open living room where Clive could actually see for himself what was going on. And ever since the episode, as Clive liked to call it, he hadn't left Alex alone.
"I'm not doing anything,"
Alex would always say, growing more exasperated all the time with his nosy blackboard.
"Leave me alone, will you?"
"No,"
sang Clive cheerily. After one such episode, Alex, frustrated, rolled up his paper, tucked it under his arm, and stormed out of his room, as stormy as one can be when entering a tube and pushing a button. He didn't want to give Clive the satisfaction of knowing where he was storming off to, so he pressed lounge, and then when he got to the lounge, he stayed in the tube and pressed library instead. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Megan and Lani at a table having milkshakes. But then he was gone again. Inside the library, he roamed to all of his usual workstations, but all the big tables were occupied, and he needed a big table to spread out his 3D drawing. He moved to the seldom-used stairwell, and walked, rather than tubed, up to the second floor, and then, seeing more stairs, up to the third, where he'd never been before. In fact, there was no button for the third floor in the tube. He'd only thought there were two floors all this time. There was an old-looking sign that said Archives on the stairwell wall next to the door. Alex went in. It was dark inside, but little lights popped up as he travelled down the rows of books, charts, and maps. It smelled musty and old. His stomach flipped as the door clanked shut, and he ran back to make sure he wasn't locked in. He wasn't. With a sigh of relief, he meandered between the shelves to a large table in the back corner, perfect for what Alex needed. His rolled-up doorway drawing bumped a 7-foot-tall tiki totem pole statue with 3 stacked faces. The middle face opened an eye, scowled, and then closed its eye again.
"Sorry,"
Alex whispered. He unrolled his paper, and when he spread it out, said,
"I wish there was more light."
The table lit up with a bluish-white light that shone through the paper. Alex, surprised, looked at his drawing, each line now feeling very individual and defined, the blueness of the bright light pointing out the flaws that had kept the drawing from working the way it was supposed to work. Alex whistled under his breath, as parts of the drawing deepened before his eyes. Inevitable. Mr. Today looked away from the long row of blackboards when he heard a growl outside his office.
"Come in, Simba," he said. "Florence, welcome."
A moment later, Claire Morning and Miss Octavia arrived, and the group arranged itself comfortably around the large office. Simba sprawled on the floor. Florence eased into a sturdy-looking, grotesquely oversized floral love seat, as if it had been fashioned just for her. And the two instructors sat in office chairs near Mr. Today's desk. The mage shuffled papers on his desk and set them aside, then looked up at his guests.
"Thank you for coming," he said. "Simba, what news?"
"Alex has discovered this hallway," Simba began. "He's been here 3 times, as far as I know from my view at the door. Once with the boy Samheed late at night. Twice during Tuesday lunches."
Mr. Today nodded.
"What about Will Blair?"
"I haven't seen Blair, but he could be using an invisibility spell to enter now."
"Thank you, Simba. Octavia?"
"All seems well with Alex. Still melancholy, but such is the life of a painter. He's working on 3-dimensional paintings."
"What sort?"
"Windows and doorways, that sort of thing. Quite ambitious."
Octavia looked over her half-glasses and down her long snout. Mr. Today said. "How close is he to getting it right?"
"Not terribly close, but he's getting better. It's a very difficult procedure, as you well know."
Florence cleared her throat.
"I've spoken to the Gerinos down at the gate. Aria says the Blair boy is acting suspiciously. He's been to the gate 2 times in the past week, and the ostrich statue in the library reports that Blair has convinced young Samheed to help him on an art project."
"Samheed's working with Blair?" Mr. Today asked, a hint of concern in his voice. Florence shrugged her massive shoulders.
"Looks that way."
Claire interrupted.
"What is Will Blair's issue? I'm afraid I don't quite understand."
"It's a bit complicated," Mr. Today said. "You see, Blair's father is the general of the Quillitory. Blair's been bitter since he arrived here 3 years ago, because if he had been wanted, he'd naturally be sitting in Aaron's place right now, by default of his heritage. Will has gotten more bitter since he discovered Aaron has clearly stolen his seat of honour."
Mr. Today pointed to the blackboard of the palace. There, in the High Priest Justine's own private office, sat Aaron, in earnest discussion with the ruler of Quill herself.
"Aaron's made quite a name for himself. Gunner reports the boy has just been appointed assistant secretary to the High Priest. No one so young has ever held so high a position."
Mr. Today turned back to face the group.
"Will is extremely jealous. Seething so hard, he no longer sees things as they are, but as he wants them to be. When he reunited with Samheed, his former neighbour and friend, they began to talk about Quill. Will found out that Aaron was the one who reported Samheed's infraction, which put Will over the edge. He's become obsessed with watching this screen, watching Aaron in the palace having lunch with the High Priest Justine and with Will's own father, General Blair, himself."
The room was silent for a moment before Claire spoke.
"So he wants revenge on Aaron?"
"Yes."
"How?"
Mr. Today pursed his lips.
"That I do not yet know."
"Shouldn't we try and stop him? Can we?"
"Yes, we can stop him. You know we can," Mr. Today said carefully.
Claire shook her head.
"I also know we won't."
"That's correct."
"But why?"
Claire sighed impatiently.
"When we have the means to stop him, to stop both Will and Alex, before Quill discovers and ruins Artime, before they put us all in danger, some of us are sure to be killed. Everything will change. Everything."
Mr. Today bowed his head into his hands and said nothing. His shock of white hair pointed at the wall behind his friends. After a moment, Simba responded in an uncharacteristically soft purr.
"Because, Claire, because neither boy has broken the law. Because we don't punish bad ideas, or thoughts, or intentions. Because the moment we do, that's the moment our world takes its first step toward becoming like Quill."
"But if it's for our own good and safety?"
"Claire,"
Mr. Today said quietly,
"once we start interfering with free thought, where do we stop? Believe me, I've been down this road."
"But you know yourself that you can protect our world without a war at all. You could wipe out the entire land of Quill, and we could be safe forever, if you just choose to stop it."
The mage smiled sadly.
"And you know, Claire, that I will not be around forever,
to protect Artime from what's beyond, Quill. Each person here must have something at stake in order to take ownership of our land. If our people have nothing to sacrifice, nothing to protect, what will happen to Artime when I'm gone?" The office was stifled in heavy silence.
"Then what do we do?" Claire said finally.
Mr. Today scratched his chin. "We prepare. And who knows, maybe something good will come of it." He took a deep breath. "Florence, have you begun the lethal weapon training?"
"Yes."
"Very good. I want everyone to have the knowledge and ability, whether they choose to use it or not. Claire, find Gunner in the forest and ask him to come see me. Simba, keep a close eye on Will Blair and Sam Heed. I'll put up a shimmer shield in the entrance to this hallway, so you can tell if someone invisible walks through it. And the boy. Mr. Today thought out loud. "Yes, I'll take care of Alex myself." He clasped his hands together and met the solemn eyes of his comrades. "All right, then. Let's be as ready as possible, shall we?" Together, each person, statue, and creature in the room nodded. The Eliminators. Nearly every night, when his eyes and hand gave out from working on the doorway, Alex agonized over Aaron. How? He asked himself over and over, after weeks of failure to produce a doorway that would lead him to his brother's dormitory room, or anywhere for that matter. He shook his head.
"I know I can rescue you, but how do I get to you? There's got to be another way."
One night, Alex had had all the tossing and turning he could stand. He left his room, walked down the stairs, past the two statues, who both nodded civilly, and went outside for a walk to clear his mind. He didn't see Simba and Florence exchange a glance, nor did he see Simba leap nimbly from his pedestal and pad up the stairs to the mage's private quarters. Alex roamed along the seashore, and then, instead of going into the jungle, he turned back and walked diagonally in a direction almost no one cared to go because of the awful memories that accompanied it, to the giant iron gate. In the light from the stars, Alex could make out the shadowy figures of the four Gyrinos, keeping guard as they did, endlessly, seemingly without rest. Alex cleared his throat.
"We see you, Mr. Blair," one said in a pleasant voice. "You may approach without fear."
Alex bit his bottom lip and stepped out of the shadows.
"Hi, I'm, not Will Blair," he said, not knowing quite what else to say. "I'm Alex Stowe."
"Oh, so you are," said one, whose name was Tina. "Look, ladies, a new one has come to face his fears."
The Gyrinos smiled. The one named Aria asked,
"What brings you here tonight, Alex? Can't sleep? Feeling wonky?"
How did you know?"
Alex could feel the ground shiver, just slightly, as two of them sat down hard and turned their attention back to the door.
"We rarely get visitors. When we do, it's usually for one of two reasons. Most often someone comes to face the iron door in hopes of seeing it in a different light from the good side of things, and thereby casting out the horrid memories of Quill."
"Does it work?"
"For some, yes."
"What's the other reason?" Alex asked presently, hoping the ladies couldn't read his mind.
Aria blinked her milky chocolate eyes solemnly.
"To escape."
Alex's heart throttled, but he held his expression firm.
"Oh, that seems strange," he said.
His voice sounded a wee bit thin in his ears, so he tried to breathe in using his diaphragm, like Miss Morning had taught them in choir.
"I didn't think the door would work as a way out. Isn't it locked from the other side? And who would want to escape to that awful place?"
Tina grinned, her teeth like glowing rectangles in the starlight.
"Right on both counts, Alex. He's a clever one, isn't he, Aria?"
"Indeed,"
Aria nodded.
"There are two ways out of Quill, but only magical ways to get back in. We can't open the gate from our side. Unless, of course, someone from the other side unlocks it."
Alex furrowed his brow.
Two ways out of Quill? What's the second? We were told the only way out was through elimination, through this gate. Well, of course you were told that, my boy. I don't think even the governors know about the other way. And if they did, they wouldn't tell the people of Quill, said Tina.
Arya gave Tina a stern look.
Don't tease the boy, Tina. How would he know?
She turned back to Alex.
There's a secret passage from the palace to beyond the walls that the High Priest Justine and Marcus created long ago, when Justine took over the rule of the land. As far as the High Priest knows, Marcus is the only other person in Quill who is aware of it.
Alex's eyes widened.
But the palace, he said, thinking. What lies beyond it? Where does the passage lead? To the great forest? To enemy territory? Why, Tina began, to the sea, of course. What?
Alex asked, incredulous.
But what about the threat of the borderlands? The Quillatry? That blasted barbed wire ceiling that protects the entire land from intruders?
Arya stepped over to the boy.
There now, dear,
she said, and sort of nuzzled his shoulder comfortingly, as if Alex were her own son, until Alex had quite calmed down.
I'm afraid it's all a ruse to control the actions of the people of Quill.
She sighed.
The land of Quill, and Artemis attached, is an island. It's one in a chain of islands. We once traded goods with other lands, but that was before Justine had the walls constructed, I'm told.
Alex shook his head, defeated.
I can't believe it. Why would they lie to us? He whispered. What about the old people? Don't they remember?
Arya shook her head, her black silky fur catching the starlight.
No, Alex, they were made to forget.
What do you mean?
Magic.
Alex stood there, blown away by what he was hearing.
Magic? In Quill?
He shook his head in shock.
But who? Who would do such an awful thing, taking people's memories?
The ladies were silent, and then suddenly they stood at attention, peering into the shadows beyond Alex.
Me, said a voice from the dark.
On a Dark Night.
"Come, walk with me," Mr. Today said, stepping out of the shadows. "We have a lot to talk about."
Alex froze. He felt now like he had felt every time he'd been discovered committing an infraction back in Quill. His heart sank as he turned around slowly, only to find a grim look on Mr. Today's face. "Caught." Mr. Today waved to the Gerinos and began walking across the lawn toward the mansion. He didn't appear worried that Alex would follow, and it was Mr. Today's nonchalance that compelled Alex to tag along after him rather than run away or hide. Alex hurried through the grass and caught up to the mage's brisk pace.
"It's a gorgeous night," Mr. Today breathed deeply the salty air. "I should remember to come out more often at this hour. I love the sound of the sea in the dark when all the other creatures are quiet, don't you?"
Alex swallowed hard.
"Yes," he said.
And then, because it sounded funny, that word, hanging out there alone, he added, like a dutiful student,
"It's sort of musical, like a new kind of instrument."
"Indeed," Mr. Today said approvingly. "My, but you've come a long way in almost a year. Can you see it in yourself, my boy?"
Alex was quiet for a moment, pleasantly confused by the turn in events, but a little suspicious all the same.
"I suppose I can, sir."
"Of course you can."
The old mage stopped at the shore and looked out over the sea.
"Have you discovered Claire's boat in the lagoon?" he asked. "She's a real beauty."
Alex squinched his eyes shut.
Yes. Was that the right answer? Alex wasn't sure.
"One day we'll go for a cruise, maybe to one of the neighbouring islands with whom we used to trade goods. I've been wanting to go back for years," Mr. Today said, almost as if to himself. "But I imagine they had hard feelings when we cut off our communications with them. I wonder if anyone there would remember me."
And then he roused himself from his thoughts and turned sharply back toward the mansion.
"But first we have some business to take care of."
Alex stumbled after him.
We do?
Mr. Today reached the walkway, climbed the steps, opened the mansion door with a sweeping gesture, and ushered Alex inside. To my office, he said.
Your office?
Alex blushed as he entered the mansion.
I guess I don't know where...
Simba cocked his head at Alex and growled. Mr. Today held up his hand and chuckled. No need, Simba. The boy needs his dignity. Alex stumbled up the staircase as his face burned. Without another word, Mr. Today nimbly took the stairs two at a time and walked into the secret hallway. Alex hesitated, turned and looked down at Simba, and realized how stupid he had been to think no one had ever seen him go in. Simba grinned cheekily at the boy. Alex shook his head and followed Mr. Today.
I'm such a dolt, he said.
Mr. Today laughed, and then held out a finger at the glass shield. It shimmered, splashed to the floor, and disappeared. We all have our moments, my boy. Come, have a seat.
Thank you, Alex said.
He sat down heavily in one of the office chairs and tried with all his might not to stare at the blackboards above Mr. Today's head. Mr. Today looked at Alex. Let's be honest with each other, shall we? Alex blinked.
Okay.
Do you miss your brother? Alex stared. His heart quickened.
No.
Mr. Today regarded Alex for a moment. Then he turned toward the blackboard. Alex, he said, is it true that your brother was creative like you? Alex blinked.
Well, he did try to draw once.
Alex remembered the time in the backyard when it rained. What happened?
My father got us mixed up. He thought Aaron was me. I was always the troublemaker, and it was pouring rain and we're identical. It was a simple mistake, Alex said.
He felt like he had to defend his father.
And Aaron went along with it. He let you get written up for his infraction.
Alex shifted uncomfortably.
Mr. Today, I'd already had several infractions. I knew I'd be unwanted. One more infraction wouldn't have made a difference to me.
And one would have made a difference for Aaron.
Alex's eyes teared up.
Yes, I mean, it's all so confusing.
Mr. Today leaned forward.
You would have done anything for him. That's the way it is with twins, isn't it?
Alex nodded, not trusting himself to speak. Finally, he whispered,
I wish I hadn't.
Because then he might be here. Is that it?
Yes.
Alex, you did a noble thing, thinking you were saving him. Believe me, I understand, and I think very highly of you for it.
Alex swallowed hard and looked at his lap. Mr. Today shuffled some papers on his desk and then stood.
Come, I'll walk you back.
Alex got to his feet and followed Mr. Today to the hallway.
So, Alex, Mr. Today said, taking on a lighter tone, how are your studies now that you're in training? All going well?
But he seemed to be searching for something deeper. Alex thought of the dreams, the doorway. His heart ached at the thought of never seeing Aaron again. Finally, he looked up at Mr. Today.
Everything's really going great. I like it here.
Mr. Today gazed at Alex as they walked, his face indecipherable. After a moment, he smiled sadly.
Good, he said. I'm very glad of that.
Where there's a will.
Where are you going?
Lani demanded, tapping her foot loudly near the library tubes, making several creatures, students, and statues scowl in her direction.
You're always sneaking around these days.
I'm busy, Alex said.
With what?
Spells. Lethal stuff.
That reminds me,
he said, trying desperately to think of a way to change the subject so that Lani would leave him alone. He was so close to finishing his doorway.
I really want to know what the incantation is for turning scatterclips lethal. Any idea?
Lani cocked her head.
I don't know. Well, can you find out? I'd like to learn that one. I mean, not because I'll ever use it. I mean, just in case.
Lani's eyes widened.
You mean you'd kill someone if it came to that? I'm not saying that. I think you are.
Alex shrugged.
Only if I had to. I don't ever want to kill anybody.
Lani was silent. She turned.
I'll see what I can find out,
she said, wandering off into the rows and rows of books. When she was out of sight, Alex slipped through the doorway to the stairwell and bounded up the steps to the third floor. He peered into the window, saw that all was dark, and went inside. Then he tiptoed back to his table to finally finish up his painting. Before an hour had passed, he made a final stroke with his brush and stood back. The door practically grew thicker on the table, it looked so realistic. Alex grinned, certain this time it would work. He gazed at it a little longer and felt a thrill run through him as he thought about finally seeing his brother again. He glanced around, wondering if he could find a free wall in the library. But all the walls were covered with bookshelves, so he rolled it up carefully and packed up his brushes and pencils. As he grabbed his backpack, he heard the creak of the door. Two voices spoke in hushed sounds. One of them Alex recognized. It was Samhead. Immediately, Alex tensed. Then he silently took his things and stepped behind a shelf, his back up against it, facing the tiki totem pole. His breath came in a shallow, quiet flow, and his skin erupted with goosebumps, and he cursed himself for not having an invisibility paintbrush with him. He could hear the two, louder now that the door had closed, settling in at a table near the front. Alex was trapped. He crept closer so that he could hear them better and see them through the space between shelves.
"The hinges are all wrong, see there?"
Samhead said, pointing to a door eerily similar to the one Alex had finally just perfected.
"I know, I'm trying," Will said crossly. "This isn't exactly my area of expertise." "Let me try." "You've tried and you can't do it either. Just be quiet, I'm concentrating."
"I could ask Alex," Samhead said. Will laughed out loud.
"Sam, you are even stupider than you look. Alex is being extremely helpful from afar already. Involving him could wreck everything. You know yourself how much he still thinks of his fink of a brother."
Samhead's eyes narrowed, but he said nothing for a moment. He pulled out a chair and sat backward on it.
"Yeah. Maybe I am stupid, because I don't get why you even want to go back there. I mean, sure, you can scare the skivvies off Aaron Stowe for taking your spot with the governors, but what good will that do? You'll expose Artime, and we'll have to fight."
Will tossed his pencil, frustrated.
"Look, I don't plan on anybody finding out who I really am, okay? At least not at first, not with my theatrical disguise, courtesy of your loser friend Alex and my incredible magical abilities. And believe me, when I get done with Aaron, he won't be able to tell a soul."
Alex sucked in a breath, and he nearly lost his grip on his 3D door. Samhead looked up, as if he'd heard something, but then turned back to Will.
"What do you mean? Are you going to kill him or something?"
He laughed nervously. Will Blair just shook his head and scowled. He picked up his pencil again and started working on the door.
"Seriously, Will?"
Samhead said when Will didn't answer. His voice grew quiet.
"Are you planning to kill him?" "I prefer the term eliminate," Will said, snarling. "You have a problem with that, or do I have to get rid of you too?"
Samhead's face turned green in the eerie blue light from the table.
"No," he whispered. "Of course not."
Alex's heart and mind raced. How on earth was he going to get out of here, get to Aaron in time to warn him? He could only hope that Will wasn't close enough to finishing the doorway tonight before they packed up, or there would be serious problems. If he could only get to his bedroom. But no stupid Clive would know what he was up to if he disappeared from the bedroom, and no doubt he would alert Mr. Today. Alex couldn't risk that. Where else could Alex go that no one would see him? He slid down the floor to sit the night out, and when he did so, his shoe crumpled at the very edge of his rolled-up doorway drawing.
"Did you hear something?"
Samhead asked quietly.
"No. I think I heard something." "So go make yourself useful and check it out, then."
Alex put a hand over his mouth and nose, as if to silence his own breath. He froze and willed Samhead to think it was nothing. Samhead was silent a moment, and then he got up and slowly walked through the dusky library. He rounded a row of shelves, and Alex could hear him just on the other side of the row he leaned against. He nearly exploded in fear.
No, 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 he kept repeating in his head. Please, no.
Samhede rounded the corner by the totem pole statue and stopped in his tracks when he caught sight of Alex. His eyes grew wide, scared at first, and then they narrowed. Alex, tensed and ready to run for it, silently pleaded with Samhede. Samhede stood completely still, the two boys' eyes locked on each other.
"Anything over there?"
Will called. The totem statue behind Samhede yawned in triplicate, and then it cleared its throats.
"Just a statue," said Samhede. "It's nothing."
He glared at Alex for another moment, and then he turned and went back to his table. There's a way. Alex's body ached from sitting so still in one place. He felt like a swarm of bees was trapped inside his head, thoughts going every which way. Will Blair was planning to kill Aaron. Not only kill him, but actually become the likeness of Aaron using his theatrical spells, so that no one in Quill would know the difference. How on earth was Alex going to save his brother? He just had to get out of there. Hours passed, with both Will and Samhede working on different parts of the doorframe. Finally, Samhede stretched, groaned, and said, "Can we just call it a night? We're not going to finish."
"I'm almost done, see? See how the top of the frame is rising up off the table a bit? We just need to get the rest of it perfect."
"It took us all night just to get that part done. I'm finished with this for today. I'm going to bed."
"Fine, go," Will said. "If you say anything about my plan, I will kill you. I'm not even joking."
"Okay, okay," Samhede said. His voice sounded hollow. "Relax. I'm with you."
Will stabbed his pencil into the paper and ripped a tiny hole in it.
"Blast it," he roared. "This is so frustrating."
He stood up and ran his fingers through his hair, and then began pacing around the table. Alex froze, though he was pretty sure he no longer had control over his cramped lower half.
"All right," said Will, still pacing but calming down. "All right. Tomorrow we're finishing it."
"Tomorrow. Good," Samhede said.
He glared in the direction of Alex, but Alex could no longer see them. They rolled the drawing and packed up their art supplies.
"Back here tomorrow after lunch. We can skip training." "But..." "Look, Samhede, don't be an idiot. We need to get this done before the old geezer finds us out. You're making it really clear why you don't belong in the Quillatory with all your blubbering."
"Shut it,"
muttered Samhede.
"What?" "Nothing. Sheesh."
Samhede fumed in silence. He slammed his chair into the library table and walked out without waiting for Will. A moment later, Will followed, snickering to himself. Alex sat for five more agonizing minutes, then slowly rose to his feet, feeling the blood rushing to his legs as they prickled mercilessly.
"Thank you,"
he said quietly to the statue. The top face opened its eyes and stared at Alex. Then it nodded and went back to sleep. When he could walk without tripping, Alex grabbed his drawing and hurried down the stairwell, avoiding the tube for fear of getting stopped by Lani. He ran around the mansion to the front entrance, where neither statue was in its usual place, and up the stairs to his room. Samhede stood in front of Alex's door, glaring.
"What did you hear?"
he whispered. Alex, breathing hard, said,
"Nothing. I couldn't hear anything. Too far."
Samhede regarded Alex, almost quivering in anger.
"You're lucky I didn't tell Will."
Alex nodded wildly.
"I know, I know. Thank you. You really saved me. Thank you."
Samhede seemed to relax a little bit.
"Nothing's going on," he said. "Right?" "Right,"
Alex said.
"I mean, what? What are we talking about?"
He gave an anxious laugh. Samhede rolled his eyes and turned away, walked to his room, and disappeared inside. Realizing that going inside his own room to paste up the door painting would only make Clive start asking questions, and knowing that Samhede was safe in his room, and presumably Will was too, and remembering that Simba and Florence were both out doing other things at the moment, rather than standing there to spy on him, Alex looked down at his drawing and realized he knew the perfect place to put it up in secret at this time of night. He bit his lip, checked his vest for scatter clips, and then walked nonchalantly down the boys' hallway, leaned over the balcony, still no statues below, and slipped down the secret hallway to Mr. Today's dark office. The glass shield was down, and all was dark. Once inside the office, he unrolled the door and held it against the wall, pinning it with the scatter clips. After he placed the last pin, he stepped back and watched as the door and frame grew thick and real before his eyes. Alex hiccuped randomly and gave a shaky laugh, totally giddy and frightened that he was actually, finally, able to go see and save his twin. He wiped his sweaty hands on his pants and then reached out for the doorknob, turned it, and pushed it open. He lifted his foot over the small threshold created by the space between the painting and the floor, and stepped through the opening into a dark dormitory room. Together Again. Alex glanced over his shoulder as he pushed the 3D door closed behind him. This door was identical to Aaron's regular door that led into the dormitory hallway. The two doors now stood side by side like twins. Alex wondered what would happen if the 3D drawing were removed from Mr. Today's office wall. Would the magical door disappear? For a brief moment, Alex felt claustrophobic. What if he couldn't get back to Artemis? He shuddered and waited for his eyes to adjust completely to the dim moonlight. There was no way Alex could do this without scaring Aaron. He knew that. Alex stood next to the bed, his stomach flipping, knees shaking. At first, Alex tried to will Aaron awake, but that didn't work. Aaron's chest rose and fell rhythmically.
"Aaron," Alex whispered, "it's me."
The boy didn't stir. Alex closed his eyes and breathed in a shaky breath, and then blew it out slowly and opened his eyes again. He stepped closer and touched Aaron's arm.
"Aaron," he said a little louder. "Aaron, it's me, Alex."
Aaron sucked in a breath and rolled to his side. His eyes opened, blinked.
"Aaron, wake up! It's me! It's Alex!"
Aaron reared up wildly, scrambling on his backside. He let out a shout.
"Who's there?"
Alex cringed.
"Shh! Aaron, it's Alex!"
Aaron's mouth fell open, a look of intense fear on his face.
"No, leave me alone!" "What?"
Aaron blinked and scooted to the far corner of his bed, his face anguished.
"Stop torturing me!" "Aaron, please, keep your voice down before you wake the whole dormitory. Listen, I know you're scared."
Aaron's eyes narrowed.
"I'm not afraid of a dream. Alex is dead. Leave me alone."
He spat out the words. This was not the way Alex had thought the conversation would go. He hadn't known what to expect. But whatever it wasn't this.
"Aaron,"
Alex sighed. He looked around the room in the dark, his eyes having adjusted now, and found a lamp. He lit it, and a low light filled the room.
"I'm not dead. I came back to rescue you."
Aaron was silent, staring. His jaw quivered as he regained control of his emotions, and soon his face took on the old familiar serious look. His voice controlled and cold.
"You have 3 minutes to explain yourself before I call the guards," he said.
Alex's mouth fell open.
"Your joke,"
he began to say. And then he realized where he was, and that, of course, Aaron wasn't joking. Aaron wouldn't even know the meaning of the word. Alex closed his mouth and sighed.
"Aaron, it's me, Alex, your brother, your twin. I'm not dead. But you will be soon if you don't listen to me. If you don't come with me, please." "What are you talking about? How did you get in here?" That cold voice. Emotion was completely gone from his brother's face now.
Aaron wasn't glad to see Alex. Alex's heart began to crack.
"You'd better explain." Alex bit his lip. "Get it together." "Aaron, please."
Alex couldn't help it. He reached out his hand.
"Haven't you missed me? Not even a little?"
Hot tears sprang to Alex's eyes.
"Blast it!"
He squeezed his eyes shut and turned his head away so Aaron wouldn't see,
and then sank down to sit on the edge of Aaron's bed. He took a deep, shuddering breath and let it out again.
"I miss you," he whispered.
Aaron's face softened the tiniest bit.
"Alex," he said, "if you aren't a dream, where have you been hiding all this time? Did you escape from the Eliminators? How could you survive this long? This is impossible."
Alex knew he had to do this right. It was his only chance. He turned back toward his brother when he had composed himself, and he spoke evenly, like he had done when he lived in Quill.
"If I tell you, you must promise me you won't tell anyone."
Aaron narrowed his eyes. He was quiet for a moment. "All right."
"I live in a secret world. A wonderful, magical world of art and creativity."
Aaron stared. "Now I know for sure that I'm dreaming."
"It's a world very different from Quill. We have fun there. We paint and draw and listen to music."
"I have no idea what you are talking about, or what you want from me."
"I want you to be with me, Aaron. Remember when we made houses in the mud with a bone? Do you? That's called drawing. You loved it, I could tell. But you were too good to admit it, even to yourself."
Something flashed across Aaron's face and disappeared into a frown.
"I had no infractions."
His voice was cold again.
"You are like me, Aaron, whether you believe it or not. If you come with me right now, I will show you."
"Come with you where?"
"To my home in Artime, where we will keep you safe."
"Safe from what? And who is we?"
"We are the Unwanteds, and safe from General Blair's son, Will, who wants to kill you and take your place."
Aaron sat for a long minute, then turned toward the wall, lay down, and closed his eyes.
"Will Blair is dead. He was unwanted 3 years ago."
"Aaron!"
"Stop torturing me. I am not allowed to be having all these dreams. I'm not the one who killed you. It's not my fault you couldn't follow the law. Now go away and never come back." "Aaron, don't be an idiot. I'm not a dream, see?"
Alex hauled off and punched Aaron in the shoulder.
"Great cats," said Aaron. "What did you do that for?" "To prove to you that I'm real and alive and sitting here. Why do you keep thinking I'm a dream? Have you been having the dream too? The one where we are together again, and I show you magic?"
"No," Aaron said too quickly. "I have forgotten all about you. You are dead. We don't remember the dead." Alex stared into Aaron's eyes.
"I'm not dead, and I am happy for the first time in my life. You have no idea how happy you can be if you just come with me."
"I don't want to be happy. Happy causes infractions. I want to be intelligent and strong, and I am. I am wanted, Assistant Secretary to the High Priest Justine. Now get off my bed, unwanted."
"In Artime there are no laws like in Quill. No infractions. And there everybody has skills and talent. Everyone. You would too."
Alex felt the tears coming back again, and this time he cried openly, shoving the tears off his face as fast as they fell.
"Quill is an evil place, Aaron. The High Priest Justine and the Governors are telling you lies, and soon you will be killed and I will be so sad."
Alex leaned over and hugged his brother's stiff body.
"I know you don't understand yet, but I'm already so sad for you."
He stood up.
"Will Blair is coming. He'll enter Quill and kill you. The only warning you have is mine. Please, Aaron, please come."
Aaron sat up and shook his head.
"No. Now go."
Finally, dejected, Alex convinced himself he would get nowhere with Aaron, so he turned to leave. Aaron got out of bed and stood.
"Why should I believe you?" he asked,
his voice dull and even.
"And where did that extra door come from?"
he muttered, rubbing his eyes now. Alex turned back to face his brother, memories flooding back to his mind. The tears poured freely down his face now, but he was not ashamed. He was proud. Proud to live in a world where people could express their feelings.
"Why should you believe me?" he repeated. "Why should you believe me?"
Alex's voice turned raspy.
"I should be the one to ask that of you, after all you've done. You reported Samhede, didn't you?"
Aaron's eyes flickered. Alex watched Aaron carefully, and for the first time in his life he saw the depth of the chilling hardness.